Many things are known to increase the chances of dementia, from not going far in the education system to coronary risk factors to head injury. But could it be that common mental health issues such as depression somehow affect the brain to the extent that thinking and memory are damaged permanently? That's what a recent study led by Archana Singh Manu sought to answer. Archana is a research professor at Anserm in France and professor of epidemiology at University College London.
There's been a lot of research looking at whether depression is a risk factor for dementia. Most studies on dementia are based on older adults. I mean, you know, these are people who are 65 and older who were followed until they developed dementia. And the results are mixed, inconsistent, with some studies suggesting that depression increases the risk of dementia and other studies not finding an association. So what we wanted to do was to take a slightly different approach. We said, okay, we've got data on depressive symptoms up to 3 decades before the diagnosis of dementia. So we want to see how are these two related. So what we've really done is to look at symptoms of depression through these 3 decades leading up to dementia to figure out whether there is some sort of a causal association between the two.
And the study you use is called the Whitehall 2 study, which is a famous study of civil servants in the British Civil Service. And we've often spoken about this study on the Health Report in the past with Sir Michael Marmot, because it's where he got his original data on inequities in health and the health gradient between the lowest levels in terms of the education and income and the highest levels of the civil service. So you use this follow-up group of people to actually dissect it for depression and dementia.
Absolutely. So the study was put together. I mean, Michael was a PI of the study. He set up the study in 1985, and it's based on about 10,000 people, civil servants, who've been followed since 1985. And although Michael remains involved in the study, he's got other things to do. So we've sort of taken this on, and it's now become a study on aging, simply because you see a range of cardiovascular, metabolic, risk factors, health behaviors.
You know a lot about these people.
We know a lot about these people because we know what happens to them, and we've seen them every 3 to 4 years, and then we've got data from the electronic health registers on a range of health outcomes. So it's really turned now into a study on aging. The initial research question was definitely looking at social inequalities and how they come about and why they come about and what the extent of the inequalities are in various health outcomes.
And so you measured depressive symptoms on 9 occasions during that time between 1985 and 2012, rather than a diagnosis of depression.
Yes, that's right. I mean, you know, diagnosing depression is a little bit complicated. I mean, you know, it's sort of, we have some data on people who've been hospitalized for depression in this cohort, but the main analysis was based on depressive symptoms. And that's what's been done in other studies. You know, we're not doing this differently. Some studies have looked at whether people take antidepressants and what the risk of dementia is. But most of the research evidence in this domain is symptoms of depression rather than clinical depression.
So let's get to the money. What did you find?
Well, the good news is that depression isn't a risk factor, really. I mean, if you look at people who've had depression in midlife, they have no increased risk of dementia, none at all. But what tends to happen is that before the onset of clinical dementia.
So when you work back, so you've got somebody with dementia and you work back.
When we work back, we see that in the 10 years leading up to this diagnosis, there is an increase in depressive symptoms. I mean, now there's many ways of looking at it. One would be that this is just people realizing that their cognitive capacities are declining and depression is part of it.
A reactive depression in a sense.
Yes, it's a little bit. You know, reverse causation is the jargon we use to explain this. But it's also possible that there are common processes which lead to both depressive symptoms and to dementia. But in both those scenarios, with both these interpretations, there is no real evidence that depression itself increases the risk of dementia, if you see what I mean. There's no real causal link. Our data do not support link between the two.
You call it in this study a prodrome, which is like a child getting a fever 2 days before the rash comes out of chickenpox or something like that. That's the prodrome, the period before your symptomatic period before you actually declare the disease. So you're really saying it's part and parcel of the dementia, whether it's a reactive thing or part of the pathology.
Yes, absolutely. And we know, I mean, now there are other studies which have shown that the diagnosis of dementia is preceded by many changes over a course of 10 up to 20 years. You know, there are changes in the brain, there are changes in behavior, the changes in personality, and then there are changes in affect. So the association between depression and dementia seems to be driven by the changes, the pattern, the cascade of changes that are involved in dementia, rather than some sort of an association where we would say, okay, if you're depressed, your risk of dementia is higher.
So if you have depression in midlife, it is not something to be depressed about. You shouldn't be depressed about the fact that you think this is inevitable, you're going to get dementia, because it's not. Now, Karen Ritchie in Montpellier, has an Australian researcher who's worked there for many years, reckons that you actually can find evidence of dementia in various ways, almost like this prodrome, decades before you develop it. Have you looked at that, whether there's a feature, when you work back from the people you now know in the Whitehall study who've got dementia, other things that are signposts to dementia that could have been detected perhaps in midlife that aren't depression?
Absolutely. I mean, this view that dementia is not something that happens just in old age. It involves changes over a long, long period. A lot of people now increasingly believe that. And in our own study, and we're beginning to look at a range of other things. We're looking at changes in weight. We're looking at changes in cognitive function. I mean, we show declining cognitive function, again, in the 10 to 15 years before dementia diagnosis. So if we match people for age and socioeconomic position and education, those who get dementia have a rapid decline in cognitive ability. But it's not just cognition. For instance, there's also weight loss. There are other changes. So what all these findings show, and these are all recent findings, what they suggest is that something we thought was a disease of the old dementia, it actually is something that unfolds over a long period of time. I mean, that's problematic in terms of when you're looking at what the risk and protective factors are. It's a little bit problematic to try and tease apart things that cause dementia from risk factors that are just part of the dementia process. So it complicates our life a little bit, knowing that the disease unfolds over such a long period.
And returning to depression for a moment, because the important thing is intervention points. Is there any evidence, when you look at what people were given for treatment and so on, that in the 5 or 10 years before you developed dementia, in this prodromal period, that treating the dementia symptoms made any difference to the outcome?
Studies haven't looked at that specific research question, but I think that's a really interesting thing one must look at, and it can be done in intervention studies. You know, you can look at people who have mild cognitive impairment and depression and assess whether treating the depression would delay the clinical onset of dementia. It might not change the disease in the brain, but it might just mean that you have a little more time, 1 or 2 years, 3 years, 4 years more before you have the clinical symptoms of depression. A study like ours can't look at this. You know, we're an observational study. We can't look at this. But I think this is a very interesting area of research where we say, okay, what are the things we can do? What are the interventions that we can do to just delay the onset of dementia? And I'm sure that there will be people who'd be running such studies to come up with results in this domain.
But the overarching message from this is that the study of dementia to find out more about it is really a long game. It's not actually one that is much helped by looking at people with dementia itself. You've got to look several years ahead.
I mean, that's something we've been saying for a long, long time. You know, the other thing that people don't think about is that all the medication that has been tested, all the molecules that have been tested to sort of cure or delay onset, they've all failed. I mean, it's one area of research which has a failure rate of 100%, 99.6 or whatever. I mean, nothing works. So we've got to start thinking about this differently. And I think part of the answer lies in looking and accepting that this is a disease which really is a long-term disease. So when we're looking at risk factors, trying to identify risk factors, we want to keep that in mind, because short studies that have a short follow-up of a few years, 5 years, 6 years, may come up with answers that are just wrong.
Archana, thank you very much for joining us on the Health Report.
Thank you very much.
Archana Singh Manu is a research professor at Anserm in France and a professor of epidemiology at University College London.